Just to clarify, I don't know that I've seen any data on correlation of mammoprint with benefits from chemotherapy. Are there any data looking at that?
Well, I think that's one of the critical and the key differences between how the mammoprint was validated and versus how the Oncotype DX was developed and validated, and that they may be equally fine in terms of predicting outcomes. And in fact, there have been studies where the two assays have been, or modifications of the assays have been looked at, that they seem to correlate fairly well in terms of their ability to predict outcomes. But they were developed in different ways, and the ways in which the Oncotype were developed, that is, prospective randomized trials comparing tamoxifen versus placebo, comparing tamoxifen versus CMF in uniformly treated patients, is much different than how the groups of patients who were studied by mammoprint. And I think that's a key difference. A second key difference that's huge is how the tissues are processed, and the fact that for the Oncotype, the surgeon can do his thing. You have the information. The patient comes to see you as a medical oncologist. You know the patient meets the criteria for doing this test, and you can order the test. Whereas in terms of doing the mammoprint assay or any assay that requires collection of fresh tissue, you would have to know that that patient could be a potential candidate for that test in advance, and you don't always know that. So those are two of the key issues. A third issue I think that's very important is the transparency of Oncotype as opposed to the mammoprint. The mammoprint, there's this Pandora's box of 70 genes that we know nothing about, and that's sort of shrouded in mystery, whereas the genes that are in the Oncotype DX is a much more manageable number, and they're familiar to us as clinicians, and they make sense.
But I'm going to say something, and Rich may want to say something too. I'm not sure I totally agree with the last statement, because I think what Rich has pointed out very appropriately is that perhaps it's not necessarily the ingredients, the individual components of the gene panel that is ultimately key, but it's the performance of the recipe as a whole.
Yes, I've tried to sometimes make the distinction between understanding the disease and how specific genes relate to prognosis or predictive, that can be a lifetime's worth of work compared to deriving a composite classifier or composite index that enables you to accurately predict something. That in some ways it can be easier to derive something that accurately predicts than it is to really understand why it predicts.
Right.
But on the other hand, it's also absolutely true that there's a more comfortableness with using a predictive tool that makes sense. And so I think both things are true.
So the only other thing that I want to mention is that I think it's a very helpful conversation that we are having right now, because the availability of mammoprint is actually forcing us to think again about the possibility of collecting frozen tissue, which is how ERPR was determined 20 years ago or so. And perhaps there is some value in beginning to once again collecting frozen tissue and to become available for future assay development. So that conversation is actually a healthy one to be had.